the rest of the story. St. Peter, sir, here comes Charlie. He left suburban Chicago September 26th of this year, so I figure with his inevitable sociable stops along the way, he'll arrive at your gate any day. Charlie's a wiry little fellow, sharp features, skin withered by 88 summers, most of them on a golf course somewhere. When we found out what a natural calligrapher he was, anybody who scheduled a golf tournament wanted him to fill in the big scoreboard with his elegant old English script, so Charlie made the rounds of 1,000 of them. Charlie can do anything. On the golf course, he doesn't hit a long ball, but he can teach anybody chipping and putting and winning. He picked up a lot of walking around money that way. I hope that's all right. And St. Peter, Charlie did like old Fitz and Branchwater. I hope he'll be forgiven that, because always otherwise, he'll make heaven more fun, especially since y'all like music. After tournament days at Oak Park and Medina, Bermuda Dunes, or Butterfield, we'd all gather around for something that was more than entertainment, the magic of Charlie and his old violin. At the Greenbrier, we'd enjoy Sam Snead playing his trumpet, and we laughed when Erie Ball made music with his nose, but things got real quiet when Charlie stood up and brought forth something very much like a human voice from his old violin. Charlie could have been a professional musician, but he liked making friends more than making money. His dear wife, Constance, must have despaired of that many times. His always having more friends than money, but she and four daughters and all of those grandchildren wouldn't have changed Charlie if they could, and much of what was wondrous about this otherwise regular guy had to do with that old violin. While there was one evening back in the 78 season, maybe 79, Stan Makita and Ray Anderson had been partners in the Butterfield Invitational. Charlie had tended the scoreboard. Saturday night entertainment at the club included the renowned world-class Viennese violinist Franz Bentler, and after the show, after the great musician had dazzled his Butterfield audience, he, Franz, comes over to the table where Charlie is sitting and says he's heard about Charlie's old violin. Charlie says he knows about Mr. Bentler's violin, too, that the celebrated concert and recording artist had $1 million Stradivarius. Somebody said, Mr. Bentler, it would be the thrill of Charlie's life just to touch that magnificent instrument. Well, the great violinist answered, he's welcome to play it. But when Franz Bentler placed the famous violin in Charlie's hands, he just sat there, cradled it like a baby, tears rolled down his leathery old cheeks. After what seemed a long while, Charlie said, I could never presume to play this. To which the Viennese violinist replied, Charlie, I could never play yours either. And he couldn't. He really couldn't. Now, St. Peter, at the risk of overselling my old friend, if heaven likes laughter, y'all are going to love Charlie Kimmel. And if you need any fancy writing or putting lessons, he is as good as they come. And music? Well, let me just ask, who has passed your way lately who could make such magic from melody, playing everything from the bounciest hoedown to the fastest, fieriest flight of the bumblebee on a half-century-old, handmade, homemade violin fashioned from an old cigar box and a sawed-off broomstick, and with one string? So you see, St. Peter, if your angels have an old harp lying around, even one that's a little busted up, even with only one string, Charlie needs only one. Now you know the rest of the story.